Good morning, church family. It is so good to be here today. We do definitely want to start out with Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. We really do appreciate all that you do and who you are in our lives. I'm not going to steal too much thunder. I know Mike Dacus is going to address our moms a little bit more when we get ready to close out this morning, but did want to offer a Happy Mother's Day to you. One thing to go along with that I was reminded by several people this morning, is the nursery is open. If you need to get rid of your kids, drop your kids off for just a moment for that, that breather that you might need. So the nursery is open. If you head out into the foyer and then that first door on the right as you go down the hallway there. Have several announcements. I'll try to go through these as quick as I can. As always, we encourage you guys to be going on to GrahamStreetChurch.com as well as the Graham Street Facebook page. Lots of up-to-date information on things. And if you notice in your bulletins, those QR codes that are in there, those take you to other websites that we have so that you can see full information for some of these things that we can't get into our print versions of the bulletin here. Going along with that, for our youth as well, we've got our own website there, GrahamStreetYouth.org. Make sure you're checking that out. Lots of different things for updates and info and our summer calendar that's on there. As always, there are a few things on the summer calendar that are kind of tentative dates, and we will try to get those hammered out and perfected as soon as we can. Don't forget, next Sunday is Senior Sunday. So if you have one of your bulletins today, you'll notice we've got our list of seniors in there. If for some reason we left someone out, please come and let me know. We want to make sure that we have all of those names in there before we get to celebrate next week. Schedule for next week for our seniors and their families and our youth group and their families is breakfast in the Family Center at 9 o'clock. After that, we'll head over here for 10 o'clock, our worship time, that we'll get to be together to celebrate our graduates. And then 2:30 that afternoon, we will do our drive-through parade. There will be a video and more information out this week with how we're going to be doing the directions for all that. We are still going to do it over here. It's just going to take some driving through barriers and things like that a little bit to make it happen. But it's a great chance we have just to kind of let loose and to celebrate our graduates that we have for this year. Seniors, make sure you check out in the bulletin if you can, or by going to GrahamStreetYouth.org, that you have filled out your senior submission form, and that you also have gotten your pictures emailed to me as well. All that info is either online or in the bulletin today. Make sure I'm getting it. Also want to remind everybody about our Living Faith program that's going to be starting up for this summer on Wednesday nights. We will actually do our kickoff for that this month on May 26th. That Wednesday night, we'll have a cookout, and we'll kind of get everybody prepped for the things we're going to do. If you were here last week, you heard us talking about it, but each Wednesday of the month will be designated a specific focus in what we're getting to do, but it's going to be something that we want to be cross-generational. We want Graham Street as a whole to be a part of those different things. So if you come out on May 26th when we do that kickoff, we'll definitely have lots of info, but we'll keep reminding you between now and then as we get to that. I do have one other announcement I wanted to share. Congratulations to the Yellow Jackets baseball team for being bi-district champions. So that's a great thing. We've got some of our boys that are on that team. So absolutely, let's celebrate that. So as we get started this morning, Taylor Holt's going to come up and lead us in our prayer to get us going. Oh, sorry, I almost forgot to. Go ahead, Taylor. In case you didn't notice, Taylor, on Friday, is that right, Friday, graduated from ACU with his master's degree in Christian ministry, so we're going to let him pray over us now that he's got all this wealth of knowledge to share with us. So, but let's congratulate Taylor on that hard work that he did there.
Thank you all so much. If you would, please pray with me. God, we come for you this morning and are so thankful to get to be together. It's always a blessing to get to start our week this way. And God, I just pray that you'll bless us this morning as we enter into worship, as we listen to David preach from your word. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, that what we experience this morning together will energize us to do the work that you have for us this week. God, we thank you for the blessing of mothers. And when we say that, we thank you for the women who brought us into this world, the women who raised us, the women who loved us as a mother would, and that encompasses so many in our lives. And God, through their sacrifices, through sometimes even their struggles, they give us everything that we need. They care for us. They nurture us. And God, we wouldn't be who we are without who they've been in our lives. And so we lift them up to you this morning. We pray a blessing over them this morning, and we pray that today they will feel loved, feel appreciated, and that we can reciprocate just a little bit of what they've given us. God, we love you so much. We thank you for loving us and showing us what it means to love other people. Continue to be with us. Continue to bless us. Thank you for Jesus, and it's in his son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being here this morning. I hope everyone is blessed by being together this morning. Join me now as we praise God. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings, alleluia to the Lamb, alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. Is one wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, in the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be
good morning, church, and happy Mother's Day to all of you. I want to introduce my lesson this morning, and then we have a special Christmas card, a Mother's Day card. It may be a Christmas card, too. I mean, Vicki, just give you notice on that. Mother's Day card that Wes and I wanted to give to the moms today. Wes gets really all the credit for it, but I got the chance to share it during my sermon. We want to share that with you in a moment. And what I'm doing with that is kind of setting up the introduction to my sermon as well. Let me mention a couple of things, and then I'll get into it. One thing is we had a mistake in the bulletin that I wanted to clarify. We do not have a family Bible class tonight. Part of that is to give the moms the night off that worked so hard to put on the family Bible class. But there was some confusion in that. It was in one version of the bulletin and not in the other version. So anyway, we do not have the family Bible class tonight. Also, there's been some questions about Memorial Day, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to host an informal gathering over in the family center for people who have lost loved ones or people who want to support people that have lost loved ones during the COVID from 2020 through 2021. If you're still dealing with that grieving process, and it was such a weird time for us in trying to do funerals and even visiting in the hospital, and all of those things were so difficult. And we thought, since it's Memorial Weekend and it's been difficult in so many ways for so many families, I'm just going to host an informal gathering. If you're part of that group, please join us. It's nothing fancy. We're not going to do a lot, but we just hope to honor the grieving because we feel like we haven't had maybe the chance to do that together. So if you want to be a part of that, 2 o'clock over in the Family Center. Some of you have asked about RSVPing, which we put in the bulletin to do. That's for people who want to say something or want to bring pictures or something like that. I would like to know, that way I know how much room to set up for pictures or whatever you want to bring. So that's the reason for the RSVP. If you just want to be there to support and encourage, be a part of that, you don't have to RSVP, but just come and be a part of that. Because I think our whole community just needs some closure on this past year. Okay, so let me pray, and then I'll introduce our lesson for this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to honor moms. They deserve it. They go through so much for all of us. And they come in all kinds of packages. There's the organic moms that come with the family. But there's so many moms in this auditorium this morning who have had so much great influence on our lives. They practically raised us in so many ways. And we just want to honor every one of them, everyone here today. And as we'll close out our service this morning, we want to include everyone that's a part of that package of being a mom. We're grateful for them. But Father, we're especially thankful for the gift that we have in Jesus, the gift that shows us what love is really all about, the love that came from you to send your Son, the love of your Son to be willing to die for us, so that we might be reunited with you, that we might have that place again in a direct, consistent relationship with you. And we pray until that day in which we get to go home, that we'll honor you every day of our lives. And in this worship this morning, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been talking about this idea of going back to better than normal. And we've been using the principles out of the book of Nehemiah, especially, to talk about what it takes to go back and start over again. And so I want to share those with you this morning. We're going to focus primarily on one step this morning, but let me remind you of the other steps. Number one, they made a commitment to begin the work. And we said our work is to make disciples and to be disciples of Jesus. Number two, they believed God would give them success as they worked together. We believe with all of our hearts that if we commit ourselves to this great work, God will give us success. Number three, they worked together, but they divided up the work. In chapter three, we find several ways that they did that. They were given specific assignments and responsibilities. They worked next to each other so that there were no gaps, no isolation. They worked in areas where they had a vested interest and took action on that specific section of the wall. Number four, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. They worked all together. They worked with all of their hearts. They put their hearts into it and worked hard. Number five, they protected and encouraged each other as they worked. And number six, they kept praying and completed the wall in 52 days, a miracle, and celebrated the success together. And we think that's a big part of success, is celebrating success together. And we plan on doing that. Wes and I thought that we wanted to say something special to moms this morning. And we wanted moms to hear what God had to say to you this morning. And I want to thank Wes for the tremendous work that he did on this video. I want to show this to you, and then I want to come back and share with you something that my mom had to say that deals with our lesson this morning.
My daughter, I know you. I made your heart. I know your dreams. I see your sacrifice. I've loved you through every season, in every circumstance. When the days are long, I see you. When the years are short, I'm beside you. When the nights are sleepless, I am with you. In your loss, I carry you. When the prayers are hard, when you release control, when you question, when you remember, when you make plans, when you pause and receive blessing, I am right here. Abide. Child, you are my creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, made in my image. Beautiful. Because you belong to me, what you do matters to me. See, I've given you as a gift to tiny hands, to bruised knees, to strong wills and to heartbreak, to new beginnings and to joyful memories. Just as I've loved you, love them. Share the grace I've given you. Demonstrate how true love is found, not by what you do, but by what I've done. Be strong and courageous. Inspire and empower. Be slow to anger. Comfort quickly. Forgive instantly. Be my example. Teach them to pray. Surrender your life daily, not to them, but to me. I am your first love, as you are mine, for you are beloved in my eyes. This is how I champion you. Yes, you are a mother, but first, you are my child.
Let me give a special shout out to foster home mothers. A lot of times you don't get included in the list, but all of you mothers in those homes at foster home, this is to you also. Let's pray again. We just pause, Father, to thank you for moms, all shapes and sizes and packages. Thank you for moms, present or already gone. Thank you. We love them because you first loved them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, has your mom ever said anything to you about working hard? How about this? Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Your mom ever say that to you? I don't think my mom ever said that. I've had a lot of other people say that to me, but I don't think my mom ever said that. Let me tell you what my mom did say, and it was really valuable, although I may not have appreciated it at the time. My mom would say, all your dad expects is for you to work hard. Not working hard is worse than disappointing him. It is lying to him. If you can't give it your best effort, he can't trust you. Now, I thought that was a little strong when I heard that as a little kid, but this was so true. So very true. And it was something that applied to more than just my relationship with my dad. It applied to everything in my life. That if I was asked to do something, I needed to do it with my best ability and with all of my heart. Because that's the only way I would be trusted with doing something else. If I wanted to do something in athletics, I wouldn't be able to be the star that I wanted to be if I didn't first do the line drills, if I didn't do the endless layups, if I didn't throw the endless passes. I couldn't get a chance to do the things that I wanted to do as an athlete until I showed that I could be trusted in the little things on the field. In working on a job, when I went at 16 years old to work at Kmart, you know, I felt like I could manage. I mean, I could do that, you know. I mean, what do? They just run around with a clipboard all the time, you know. But before I could ever get my chance to do anything, I had to work in the stock room and just haul stuff out on the floor. And I had to work a register. And I had to do the stuff that I didn't want to do, but I needed to do so that I could be trusted. And I had to work at it, showing that I had a desire to do the right thing in the right way. So what my mom was saying to me was very valuable. Now, the reason why my mom said it was because my dad worked nights, and he would come home just in time sometimes for me to see him before I went off to school. Sometimes if he worked late, I didn't even see him. I might go the whole week without seeing him, because he would come in, he would try to do a few things, he would go to bed, and sometimes he would get up before I got home, especially after we started practices and things like that. And he would be going to work again before I got home again. But Dad always left a list of things that he wanted me to do every day. Every day. And we had a counter. As you come into the kitchen area, there was a counter. And right at the end of the counter, he left the list sitting on the counter. And it had an itemized list of things that I was supposed to get done that day. And that's where Mom would remind me that you need to get the list done. And if you expect Dad to trust you, you've got to do what's on the list. And that may seem harsh in some ways, that every day my day would start with a list. But I learned responsibility. And I learned something about trust. And I think it applies to our principle of teamwork. If you really want to be a good teammate, you need to do your very best to work hard, but you need to put your heart into it. You have to do it with all your heart. It's not enough just to work hard. You need to learn how it works into the teamwork and desire to do that to the best of your ability with your heart. So working hard with all of our hearts is a holy trust. Now, there's all kinds of reasons why we should put our heart into our work. For example, there's just the fact that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our being, which includes our heart. That's a reason why we should put our heart into it. We're motivated by the love that God has shown us and that Jesus showed us. And we're compelled by the love of Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. So love compels us to do that. But I want you to understand that another reason why you put all of your heart into whatever you do in the kingdom of God is because it is a holy trust. Let me explain that. Look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and beginning of verse 14. Often we read this and we take different applications. What I want you to see this morning is what it says about the trust relationship that we're supposed to have with Jesus. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like talking about the kingdom, talking about the end. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work to gain 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the happiness of your master. The man who had 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money. You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to think about some of the things that are pointed out in this. One thing is, they were entrusted with the master's money. Some versions say they were given. I think there's a stronger term used here. The idea that this is a trust. The master's going away on a trip, a long journey. He's going to be gone for a long period of time. They don't have cell phones. They don't have emails. They're not in communication with one another. This master has to completely entrust this to his servants and expect them to do the right thing with his money, with his property, with his possessions. He can't control it. It's up to them. And this is true in our relationship in the kingdom here. God has given us a lot of latitude in our churches. He has given us the opportunity to try to figure out how to do things. You know, it would have been a lot easier in some ways if the Lord had been a lot more specific about how we're supposed to do the different things that we do. In fact, it would probably have been helpful if he'd even given us more specific line items. If Jesus were more like my dad and he left a list for every day, wouldn't that be convenient? If every day when you got up, you knew what you were going to be facing that day, and there was a list of things that Jesus left for you to complete before the end of the day. But it's not that way, is it? We have to kind of decide as we go through our day how we're supposed to bring glory and honor to God. We're supposed to decide as we live our lives how to be the disciples of Jesus and how to make disciples, how to help other people to live like Jesus in this world. We're given the responsibility of making a difference in this world as we live Jesus out in our lives. But we don't have a list of everything that we need to do on any particular day. And you think about our shepherds of our church, our elders, as they lead us as a congregation. Probably it would have been easier if they had a list to go by. Some of the questions that come up that they're asked. Some of the details of exactly how to go about things. And when you consider their responsibility, just think about how many people have an opinion about what they need to be doing. How many people have an opinion about how the church needs to do things? I mean, look at our worship. How do we decide to worship? And you might say, well, hey, it's in the Bible. If you look in the Bible about exactly how we're supposed to do our worship, there's not that much detail. We have information about the Lord's Supper and communion. It doesn't tell us how to do it, though. I mean, think about COVID. You know, we made a decision that we're going to start using these little containers. There is not instruction for that in the Bible. Did you know that? It's not in there what to do when you have COVID. It's not in there. We had to make some decisions. We're concerned about people who come to visit with us, that we are able to contact them, that we're able to see if they need anything. We want to follow up with them. How do you do that? Now, you may not have noticed this because you're not a visitor, but if you're a visitor, you may have realized that, you know, there's not paper in front of me and a pencil to write out my name and address and questions and, you know, phone number that you get in touch with me, because during COVID, we took those off the racks in the back. But did you know we didn't have biblical reference to do that to begin with? You say, well, David, you're being silly. No. Churches have divided over such. We're entrusted with taking care of this. We're given minimal amount of information, and it's in broad, sweeping commandments from our Lord of what we're supposed to be as a church and how we're supposed to do our business and how we're supposed to continue His mission in the world. We're entrusted with that. And every one of us, not just the elders, every one of us is responsible for that. Every one of us have something to contribute. We have been entrusted with that. And you've been entrusted with that not just to do something, not just to do the work, but you've been entrusted with doing it with all of your hearts, putting your heart into it. One of the problems with the list that my dad would leave me, and this is why Mom reminded me this, I didn't always put my heart into everything in that list. For example, Dad would be very specific about how many rows in the garden he expected me to weed. I'm not kidding about this. I'm serious. This is not a preacher story, okay? He would say, I expect 2 rows of the beans, I expect whatever. He had it very specific. And I hated it. I did not have my heart in that. I didn't say, oh, goody, I get to go hoe today, you know? I did not feel that way. But you know what I did love? When Dad would get up from trying to sleep all day and go out to the garden and pick a few things and inspect my work, and he'd say, you did a good job. I love that. And it kept motivating me. It kept me doing what I didn't want to do because I did want to please my dad. And that's what my mom was trying to tell me. He has entrusted you with something. And if you want to build that relationship of trust, put your heart into it. Do your very best. Because at the end, your dad's going to be proud of you. And he's going to let you do things that you want to do because you've done the things that you have to do. Secondly, notice that he gave them these talents, this money. It was money. He gave them this money based on their ability. You know, this is one of the problems that we have in the church work, is that we don't think about what we have in ability. Most of us, practically all of us, sell ourselves short. There's very few of us that are trying to do more than we have the ability to do. Now, there's some exceptions. You know, basic needs probably comes close to that. I watch those ladies working in basic needs, and there are some men who are working there too. But I watch those ladies and I think, how in the world do they get done what they do? Like the garage sale we had this past week, and all of you that helped, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was such a wonderful, wonderful experience, and the community got a chance to get to know the people working in basic needs. There's a lot more to it than selling a few items so that we have money to put back into taking care of needs in our community. There's a lot more to it. But boy, they strain and they work hard. But most of us, there's a lot more we could do. But here's something I want you to think about. The master gave each of those servants the money according to their ability to handle it. He knew which one could handle 5. He knew which one could handle 2. He also knew that the most he wanted to give the 1 was 1. But what the master wanted to happen was that he wanted them to trust the master, to trust the Master. That I wouldn't have given you this if I didn't think you could do it. And I want you to know that you can do beyond this amount. That the 5 and the 2 and the 1 can be doubled if you'll put your heart into it. And if you'll work hard, you're going to find that you can do way beyond your ability and what you think you can do. That's what the Master was doing. You need to trust me in this. Now, brothers and sisters, I think what we tend to do is that we trust ourselves more than we trust the Master. You see, Jesus knows that we can do more than what we think we can do. You know, the reason why we're so overwhelmed with anxiety is because we don't think we can handle it. Jesus is saying, you can handle this, and you'll grow from it, and good will come out of this. Trust me. Believe in me. This may seem like a tough task for you to deal with, but I'm telling you, you can do this, and good will come out of this more than you will ever imagine, because I wouldn't give it to you if I didn't trust you with it. Now think about that, brothers and sisters. Part of the ministry that we have, part of the work that we've been given to do, is not just our assignments in ministry, but it's what we have to deal with on a daily basis. Illnesses, tragic losses, devastating financial problems, relationship problems. Those are part of what we have to deal with in our ministry as well. Everything that we face in our lives is part of our ministry. And Jesus is saying, trust me in this. You have the ability to deal with this. I will give you the power to get through this. And when you get through this, good will come out of it. It will double the investment that you put into it. No matter how hard you have to work, it's going to come back to you 100-fold. Trust me in this. We also need to realize that we need to act quickly. Procrastination is a major problem in churches. I would dare say that every leadership of every church, if they were to be honest, could tell you of a situation where they had a great opportunity and they let it pass. Because they just couldn't decide. They couldn't get with it. They couldn't bring the program to match the opportunity. They had to get everything lined up just right so they could make it work. And the opportunity passed them by. Every church has to deal with that. One of the things that's fascinating to me in this story is that the 5-talent guy immediately, I mean, he didn't wait for the master to be down the road, and he was putting that master's money into work. It says he did not hesitate a moment. He began acting on what the master had given him. And notice it says the same thing about the 2-talent guy. He went at once and did something with it. He started working as soon as the master was out of the door. But I want you to notice the 1-talent guy. He said, I don't know. I don't know what we can do with this. I don't know how to get organized. I don't know who to be involved in this. I don't know the right connections. I'll go out here and I'll bury it in the ground. At least when the master comes back, I can dig it up and give it back to him. That sounds like a lot of church work. We spend a lot of time talking, getting information, planning, organizing, recruiting, all of that. And there is a place for all of that. But we need to begin at once. Once the opportunity strikes, we need to be in prayer. We need to be on our knees immediately. And we need to be saying, this is an opportunity God has given us. This is an investment of His trust in us. He would not put us in the position for this opportunity if there were not something we needed to do about it. And we need to put our heads together, and we need to pray about it, and we need to act. And the same is true for you and your ministry. Wherever you are in your life and whatever you're dealing with, there is an opportunity there. It may seem like a terrible, terrible thing that you're facing, but there is an opportunity in it. And you need to look at it for God's opportunity, and you need to act. The man dug a hole in the ground, and I wonder how many of us are doing the same. And you see, the reason why the man thought that this was the right thing to do is because from his perspective, and you notice the relationship is not good between this servant and the master. There's an assumption here that the other two had a pretty good relationship. They trusted their master and they knew they could take some risk because they had a good relationship with the master. But notice the difference in the attitude of this man toward his master. He's afraid of him. He looks at him. He makes these investments, but he gets this much out of it. He gets back a harvest that's bigger than what he planted. And he's saying, I know he expects that from me. He expects me to be like him. And I can't do it. And it scares me to death. And when he comes back, he's going to know, where's the rest of my money? And I won't have it. I'll have risked it and I've lost it. I won't have anything to show him. So I'm going to be safe and I'm going to put it in the ground and hide it. And some of us, brothers and sisters, are doing the same thing with our lives. We're digging a hole in the ground and we're hiding it. At least we haven't risked it. But you see, if you don't put it to work, you have lost it. Notice what words the master says to the 5-talent and the 2-talent guy. He said, good and faithful servant. Faithful. You have been faithful to the trust I had in you. Sometimes we define faithfulness in what we don't do. You know what I mean? Well, I don't do these sins, therefore I'm faithful. Sometimes that's one of our favorite expressions at funerals. We want to use these words that Jesus said because that's what we all want to hear. We all want to come before the Lord and Him say to us, you're a good and faithful servant. And we say that because they are people who have lived their lives without making these major mess ups. But brothers and sisters, that's not what makes you faithful according to this parable. Faithfulness is what you do with the trust that the master has left you. Everything that the master has left you, every opportunity he's given you, every blessing that he's given you, every test that he's given you, are you faithful? And then notice, the man who hid his talent, he wasn't faithful. But at least he returned the money. He couldn't be accused of embezzling. He didn't steal it. He gave it back. Now, how many of you want to stand in judgment someday and say, well, Lord, at least I gave it back. At least I come before you with what you gave me. Is that what you want? What kind of trust is that? When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he paid the ultimate price for us so that we could live for him. And the best we have to offer for him is to stand before him and say, hey, you got what you gave. That's shameful. So one last point. We will be held accountable. The master came back to his servants. He said, how'd you do? My mom said, Remember, your dad's going to get up and he's going to check. There's the list on the counter. You're without excuse. Your dad wants these things to be done before he gets up, and he's going to get up. Whether you're here or not, he's going to get up and he's going to check. And I tell you what, it felt so good on every item on that list that I could draw a line through it. I wanted my dad to get up and find a list that I had marked off the different things that I was supposed to do. Not because I liked all the things on that list, but because I wanted my dad to be proud of me. And that's what my mom was reminding me of. And I'm trying to remind you this morning that what you want to do, whether you like what you're experiencing right at the moment or not, it's part of the trust that the Master has left you. And someday he's going to hold you accountable. And you want to stand before him and be able to say, I wasn't happy with everything that you gave me, but I sure am happy that you're happy with me. Do you want Jesus to be happy with you? Do you want him to be pleased with you? Do you want him to say, when you come before him and give a big hug to you and say, hey, you're my good and faithful servant. I left you a trust and you didn't let me down. You didn't let me down. Brothers and sisters, let's don't let Jesus down. He didn't let us down. He even fell with that cross on the way up the mountain, and he kept going. He kept going all the way to the top and hung on that cross until he died for us. He didn't let us down. Let's don't let him down. Not a one of us. Let's don't let him down. Let's don't let him down as individuals, and let's don't let him down as a church. Let's be the church that says, whatever you entrust us with, Lord, we're going to be faithful. We may not like it all the time. We've been through some experiences in the 4 years I've been in this church that I wish on no church to have to go through. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what we need to be able to say is, but we were faithful. Lord, please don't give us that again. We don't want to do that again. But we were faithful. You trusted us with it. Somebody had to bear that cross, and we were faithful. And whatever we face as a church, let's be faithful. We have been given a trust. Let's stand before the Master someday and know that he is going to say, you are good and faithful as my servant. This morning, as we take communion, we're supposed to examine our hearts. That's part of what communion is about. I want you to look in your heart of hearts. I want you to ask yourself, have you been faithful? Not under the old standard of what you have not done, but under the standard of the Lord has committed to you a trust. Whatever it is that you're going through in your life, he's entrusted you with it to turn it into something good for him. Have you been faithful? Ask yourself that. And if this morning we need to pray with you about that, if we need to encourage you about that, if we need to join with you in understanding where you could maybe make better choices in the trust that you're bearing for Christ, we'd love to do that this morning before we go home. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. Coming, Lord.
As we get ready to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, think about the words of this song. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame.
Wes, I want to say to you that Mother's Day card, you need to copyright that and get that out among the brethren, because that was beautiful, brother. I saw smiling mothers' faces. I like that. There was a study done several years ago at the Child Behavior Research Center by Bernard Rimlod. He's the Institute's director. When he did this study, here's what he did. He asked kids and adults that were part of the study to take and make a list of the 10 people that they knew best. So I want you to think in your mind about 10 people that you know best. And what he did was he had them make two copies of the list. The first one, out to the side of each one of the people's names, he had them write happy or sad. If you think about your list of 10 people that you know the best, out to the side of their name, write happy and sad. Now, once they'd completed that list, and once you've completed yours, he had them take the other list, put that first one aside, and this time out to the side of their name, he had them write selfish or unselfish. So each of those 10 people had a label of happy or sad on one list, selfish or unselfish on the other. Then they put the two lists together. Do you know that without exception, during this study, for every person that said that they identified as happy They also identified them as unselfish. Unselfish. Because I can tell you this, being happy is directly tied in to putting others first. And that's what Jesus did. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 2, he says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Unselfishness. He went on to say that Jesus emptied himself of all of the glory of heaven, that he took, that he set all that aside and became a servant. And he came for you and I. And this morning we take this little cup. And when you open up the top of it, and you can do that if you want, there's something that we call bread in here. That's a loose description of bread. But what I will say is this. As Christians, when we have this supper with the King, and we take this bread, it represents the body of a Savior who was just as unselfish gets. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, for a body that was broken, that he willingly put out there for us. And we know that our sins held him to that cross, not because he had to, but because of choice. Father, I pray that each one of us as Christians today will choose to encourage each other. We'll choose to lift each other up and continue fighting the battle for Christ and against Satan. I pray that we will be unselfish. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's follow it up with this fruit of the vine that we see as Jesus' blood. It's a part of us. It covers us. It changes us. When we are in Christ Jesus, we participate in his love, and I pray that we give it to others. Let's pray together. Father, for this cup, I know each one of us needs to examine our heart, that we need to see ourselves as willing sacrifices too. As Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, that we need to be transformed and not be conformed to the world. Help each of us to embrace the blood of Christ and let it cover us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Once again, thank you for being here this morning. We'll have one more song and then we'll have our shepherd's prayer. Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow.
I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek His favor in everything I do. Walking with Him each day, love light does shine. Doing His will always, never repine. Kneeling to Him I pray, Thy will not mine. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek His favor in everything I do. Happy to serve my friend, lean on His arm. Rapture will never end, nothing alarm. Voices now sweetly blend under His charm. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek His favor in everything I do.
To all the moms, moms of children who are still at home or all grown up, moms who've outlived a son or daughter, or moms of babies they never got to hold, moms who've raised kids all on their own or became a mom to someone who needed one, moms of children who have wandered from God, or the longing to be moms who are still waiting. God perfectly arranged each of you into the role you have today. His word recognizes you as capable, strong, and praiseworthy. Everything you do makes our lives more beautiful. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank everyone for being here this morning. Hope you were encouraged and blessed by being here. If you are a visitor, come back. We'd love to have you again. There's a couple of things I need to go over this morning. I have this letter I'd like to read. Dear church family, the women who work in basic needs want to express our appreciation for everyone who helped make our spring garage sale a success. From the setup to close, our brothers and sisters gave so much of self to be a servant of God. We all know how grateful we are. Please know how grateful we are for your servants' hearts. In Christian love, Deborah, Pam, and Kathy. They raised about $6,000. They thank us, and I say thank you for what you do. That was awesome. Also, some of the young people I'd like to recognize doing some great things. Kind of got a sometimes pass before we recognize them, but I'm going to catch up here. We had three students who were chosen April Students of the Month by the Optimist Club for the Stephenville School District. That was Seth Gilley, Reese Young, and Peyton Poston. We have two young men who play on the bi-district champion baseball team, Corbin Poston and Reese Elston. And Charlene Thubacher was selected as the cheerleader for next year at Stephenville High School. Alyssa Adams is going to graduate from Eastern New Mexico University on May the 15th with a degree in speech, language, and pathology. And Guthrie Yinsky at Texas Junior College Agricultural Association Convention held at West Texas A&M received the following awards: first in speech, first in scrapbook, first in public relation, second in agronomy. I wasn't sure what that was. I looked it up. Science of soil management and crop production. Great work by these young people. Let's give them a hand there. Lastly, I want to read a tribute to all the mothers here. I read this and it really touched me. I'd like to read it. I'm still your mom. When you no longer listen or care what I say, I'm still your mom. When you decide I'm old-fashioned and want to go your own way, I'm still your mom. When you talk back, complain, and we argue, I'm still your mom. When you figure you know more than I do, I'm still your mom. When you move away and take a piece of my heart with you, I'm still your mom. I will love you still as much as the first day I held you in my arms. I'm still your mom. I will pray for you and make sure your wings are strong enough to soar. I'm still your mom. I know what's best for you and will sacrifice my plan for you. I'm still your mom. I'll always have room in my room for you and a hug to welcome you. I'm still your mom. Until my very last breath, I'll keep carrying your love with me. And I truly thank God every day for the privilege and the joy it's been called to be your mom. I'd like for all the moms to stand up. Come on, moms. Should be a bunch of you. Thank you, mothers. Everyone stand, we'll be dismissed. Prayer. After this prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us today to gather here to worship you. We honor you and praise you. You are our creator, our sustainer. You are our savior. You are our redeemer. And Father, through you, through Christ, we have forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Father, we ask you to help give us to be thankful in all things and all conveniences or inconveniences that happen to us, because we know we're truly blessed through those, and we share, pray that we would share those blessings with others. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number who are sick and hurting this morning, that you would be with those doctors and those nurses, those caregivers who minister to them. Father, we know we fall short. Many times we're not profitable servants. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to soften our hearts, that we would have the heart of a servant, that we would have passion for you and compassion for others. Father, we pray for the church here. We ask that you bless the elders, the ministers, the deacons, and their families. And I'm so thankful for those that teach here and those that are involved in all the different ministries. And we pray, Father, we'd all be of one mind and one body, and we'd all be in unity as we work together for the furtherance of your kingdom. Thank you for this nation, Father, and the providence you've blessed us with. We ask once again to be with our leaders, that they would seek you. Father, as we go here today from this place, we pray for strength, wisdom, and discernment, that we would be able to better see the path that you would have us go on. Thank you for Christ, Father, who is always with us. He's in our hearts. He walks with us. He knows our struggles. And Father, because of Christ, we can be assured that we are saved. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now you're dismissed.